Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is July 8th, 2021. It's our second show today. We got a good one for you here on Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. We've got Maria Cleary here. Whoops, let me get that off. There we go. Okay. Who is the president of Read Easy? That's R-E-A-D-E-E-Z-Y. ReadEasy.com. And this is a really cool. She is a interim school superintendent. Okay. But she also is the parents of a parent of a special needs young adult now who had trouble reading. And when she had trouble reading, she started to not read, which is not good, as we're going to learn. And so Maria Cleary, our guest today, came up with this great thing, good product now that you can use with your special ed needs kids, etc., to encourage them to read. It's called Read Easy, R-E-A-D-E-E-Z-Y. Okay, so we're going to have a nice conversation with Maria today. We're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org, A-C-E-E-D. .org, as you know, we're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And if you go over to ace-ed.org, you'll see all our archive shows over there under the podcast icon. And you'll also see our wonderful online journal, which is Equity in Access. New issue up there right now, and you'll enjoy it. It's really a good magazine. Okay, all free. Everything's over there. You want to join with us? Be our guest. We'd love to hear from you over at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, here's Maria. Hi, Maria. It's Larry here. How you doing?
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, you're my second New Jersey show today, so I know it's a nice day down there today, huh?
We've been having thunderstorms, though, so things are very changeable. But we love the summer, we educators, so that this is fine.
I live in Maine. I love the summer for many reasons, okay? Especially,
I'll bet.
I can think of three of them called January, February, and March, which is why I love the summer so much. Congratulations to you, okay? This is really a nice product. Again, readeasy.com. And I want to spell that. I keep spelling it. readeasy.com. People should check it out. And we're going to talk about, okay, how this all came about. But I want to start with something a little more important, which you'll can help people understand. This is why this is so important. There are terrible outcomes for people who stop reading at a young age. It's really important people keep reading, and it really makes a difference in their success at school, okay, and obviously their success in life afterwards. I want you to talk about that as we start in here, okay, because once we understand that, we'll understand the importance of Read Easy to the students. So go ahead, Maria. What are the challenges, the outcomes, if somebody stops reading at an early age?
Well, you're right about them being terrible, Larry. One thing I have found out from my research in terms of statistics is that 1 in 5 Americans is learning disabled, but 35% of them, 35, drop out of high school. And this is the really important thing. 54% of them are unemployed. More than half, and
wow.
It's very scary. And I can tell you this just even from my my daughter's friends, that they are all of them sitting home, especially since the pandemic.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have very little that they can do because their jobs were so non-essential to begin with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we even talk about the preparation our kids get in high school once they are deemed special ed, the curriculum sort of stops being academic and it gets to be more career prep oriented. And so they bring them around to learn how to bag at ShopRite or to, you know, wait white tables at Panera's.
Yeah.
And how does that prepare you for life success? I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, once we talk about equity in education, older special ed students have to be at the top of the list where there is no equity. But the other thing, the other category, which is very frightening, is a physiological one. a biological one. What we learn now is about something called neuroplasticity of the brain.
I was going to ask you about that. It was on the sheet you gave me, and I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that. That's interesting. Go ahead.
Well, neuroplasticity is something that was brought to the fore by a researcher named Norman Doidge. And what he has learned is that when we stop using parts of our brain, in this case, if we stop reading, by the time we are adolescents, Larry, neural connections start to prune off. It's really a case of use it or lose it.
Yeah, it's like any other muscle, if I may. It's in a way, you know, you don't exercise, you get worse.
You are absolutely right. And the thing is, they don't come back. These neural connections don't come back. That's why, you know, for those of us of a certain age, we start doing things like Sudoku puzzles and crossword puzzles and whatever.
Right. It's
and
it's true.
The same with our kids. And so here's the thing about Read Easy. The whole reason that I started it is because just around in middle school, my daughter stopped reading. And the reason she stopped reading is that there were no books that were appropriate for her anymore. She needed illustrations.
Was she in special ed at that time? Or was
she
in a great
special
mainstream...
ed, but she was... No, she was in special ed because she was multiply disabled. So she was in a regular public school up until she was in eighth grade, and at mm-hmm. which point she went off to a special education school, which was a whole different experience.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about the middle school public school thing first. She stopped reading. I remember so vividly going to a parent-teacher meeting and her teacher telling me, Desi's doing such a good job. She's reading Hatchet. And I looked at her and I said, she's reading Hatchet? How does she even know what's going on in this book? She goes, oh, Mrs. Cleary, you would be surprised.
Wait, what's Hatchet? I don't even know what that is. What is that?
Hatchet is one of these books that's on every middle school reading list.
Thank you.
Forever.
What is this about? What's it about? I don't know it.
Oh, you know, it's a kid adventure, and it's a good book. But
yeah, I'm sure.
But the thing of it is, it's written at a sixth to seventh grade level, has no illustrations at all, and my daughter, who at that point was reading at a second grade level,
yep.
didn't have a clue. Yep. Now, she was probably reading the words along with them, but didn't know anything. So it reached the point where Desi said to me, Mom, I don't want to read anymore. Reading makes my brain hurt.
Yeah.
And I would watch her and read and the way she scrunched up her face. And it did make her brain hurt. So, and
I said, well, I bet it did make her brain hurt. Yeah.
Oh, it absolutely
did. Good way to say it, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I could tell the things she was missing when she was trying to read. And the very first thing were illustrations. A lot of special needs learners need pictures because they have a real problem with abstract thinking. They just cannot do word pictures in their minds, you know. There were no text-to-speech features, obviously, in a print book, and a lot of the vocabulary was difficult. The stories may have been age-appropriate, but the reading levels were not accessible for her. Also, she needed texts for understanding because what you also find with special needs students is that they forget what they've read a lot more quickly than a regular reader. So I decided maybe we needed to create a product, and I started this 7 years ago, Larry.
Wow.
And I created a little beta version of something that I thought might be appropriate, and it was an age-appropriate story. It was illustrated. It was a little bit animated. At the end of the chapter, there were these gaming questions for that were checks for understanding. You could get points for answering the questions. And it was a little kind of basic product. And I brought it around to a couple of schools and tested it. And the enthusiasm was off the charts. So I was encouraged by that and have been working for all these years trying to get funding to see if we could build out the product. Finally, and this is why I said in my notes to you, this is a family project.
Yes,
my husband turned around and said to me, "Would you please take the damn money for this out of the bank?" I said, no, this is our retirement money. And he said, just do this. So he was very supportive about it. And
good
then my, yes, I was very grateful.
Yeah.
And my son, one of my sons, who is a reading teacher, helped me write the first book. Yeah. And, We hired a developer, we hired an illustrator, and we hired a narrator, and we created our first book, which was called Perfect Pitch. Then we had to see if it worked, and we did a study. We studied it with 88 students from age 11 to age 22. And
these were special ed folks, right?
They were all special ed kids.
Yeah.
They were all in public school, however.
Okay.
And none of them in a special needs school.
Oh, okay.
And we tested for comprehension, retention, and engagement. And we were shocked. Every single thing came back 75%. In as a number 4 on the Likert scale, which was the highest score they could give it. And I thought, well, we've got something that works.
Yeah, you got something. Yeah, there is something that works.
Yes,
yeah.
That works. And the thing of it is that one of the reasons it works is because we're using all the same techniques that great teachers use in the classroom. And we know, because we've been doing it all these years, that we need to give kids a chance to model reading. We need to give them a chance to answer in community whether or not things are understandable to them. We need to give them a chance to read out loud. And ReadEasy offers them all these things.
Well, Maria, let me ask you: Does ReadEasy right now? And we're talking to a lot of educators now. So, and they can go to ReadEasy.com, which is, by the way, a very cute website. I got to tell you, it's very nice. Whoever designed
Thank you.
Yeah, they deserve a little bit of credit there. Okay, it's cute. All right.
A lot of pain went into that, Larry.
I'm sure. And the pain doesn't show, but it's a cute website.
Thank you.
And by the way, writing a book, you just said your son's a reading teacher, but it's still not easy to do. Okay, so congratulations on that. That's cool. But my question is for the teachers listening, if they go to ReadEasy.com, what would they be buying, if I may ask that? Would they be buying copies of Pitch Perfect, or would they, in other words, what is the actual product? Okay, that's what I'm trying to ask that. Yeah.
Well, this gives me a chance to tell you my vision, too. The product right now is the one book, which is our proof of concept book, and it's $1.99. And for any teacher that wants to – I know, it's a real bargain. This is our launch price. But for any teacher that wants to try it out with their kids, that is fine. We're at this point not doing any group rates or anything because this is something that we want to get out there. And what I would love back and be so grateful for the $1.99 is feedback see if their kids like the book, how they responded to it, what they would like to see in the future, because the future plan is to create a whole library of these books. The second book is already written. And we've got an illustrator, and we're on the road with the second book. What I would like to do now is to raise funds, which will be a little bit easier now that we have a product and we're growing.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Invite authors and a diversified group of authors, too. So amateur authors, authors with learning disabilities, authors who are disabled in ways that still allow them to write, famous authors. There are a number of authors like David Baldacci and Mike Lupica and Harlan Coben who write for adolescents. I'd love to get them on board to maybe have a little story for these people to read, because, and then the other vision for this, which I get really excited about, is I have plans for to introduce some artificial intelligence into this. So right now it's just text-to-speech, but what I'd really like is for each reader to have a reading companion, which would come in the form of an avatar, and the avatar then would not only read and interact with them through the book, but with the points that you earn, you could accessorize the avatar, dress him or her, put him or her in an environment, that kind of thing. And at the end, I'd love to start a Read Easy book club where these avatars can interact with one another, and they could talk about the book. Because I will tell you, Larry, and this was one of the most this touched my heart more than anything when we were testing this book. I was sitting in a class with multiply disabled young adults. They were all like 21, 22. And we were talking about the book afterwards. And one of them said, I know just how that boy felt because I've been bullied too. And everybody in the class started joining in the conversation and agreeing and adding their own stories. And for a group that has no social interaction opportunities at all, you know, this would be such a wonderful way for them to be able to communicate with one another and, you know, exchange ideas.
Yeah, yeah, and so I have to ask, by the way, but the book, I want to ask you this, okay? The book, correct me if I'm wrong, is the book called Pitch Perfect, or is the book called something, the $1.99?
The book is called Pitch Perfect. And
thank you, that's what I thought, okay. And when let me ask you this, when they send you $1.99, what do they get? Do they get an actual book, a physical book, or is it all online?
It's all online.
That's what I thought. I wanted to lead this to you. Yeah, go ahead.
And there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, when we tested...
I know the reasons. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the students just far prefer digital books to print books. Especially special needs students. Also, there's an whole interactive feature where, you know, the gaming questions at the end of every chapter work digitally. So that's the whole, and it's animated too. So the pictures only work digitally also.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's a digital product, and it's a digital product because I think that that leaves it, it's the way we targeted the whole thing because I think it answers the current needs of these kids.
And should a teacher, this is interesting, you want to sell this to, I assume, schools and teachers, right?
Yes, but not just schools and teachers.
Go ahead.
Because this is schools and teachers are just part of the audience. independent reading, we know as educators, is so important. And a lot of the reading products that teachers have access to for their students are a whole package. So there's an assessment piece to it. You've got to sign up all your kids. You have to keep track of their progress. And teachers know that they are overwhelmed with so many of these collection that they have to do, right? That who needs another one?
Yes.
I think, right.
Spoken
exactly.
as a superintendent, everybody.
I agree with you,
by the way. I agree with you. Yeah.
Oh, it's so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming that I think what teachers would appreciate, and certainly my teachers would have appreciated, is a collection of books where when it came to independent reading time, because everybody's got that now, we know how important it is, these challenged readers could just go to a place and pick a book that they not only could read without any help, but that they would enjoy.
Yep.
I have seen so many special needs kids, Larry, sitting on a floor during independent reading time, staring at a book that they don't understand.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, they're just literally staring at a book.
Absolutely. I mean, especially if you're in sixth, seventh grade, there are no books. There are no books in that library that you understand. There are no picture books. There are some. I shouldn't say that. There are high-low readers that have some limited illustrations, but for some students who are really challenged, the only thing that you can read is a baby book. That's going to be something that you can handle on your own. And that's so insulting to them. It's just, it's not right. And then when you get to high school.
And actually, that brings up a good point. I don't know exactly how to ask this, but this is your books, or your book, and soon to be your books, okay, in ReadEasy. This is an important thing, are geared to young adults. I guess that category is from 13 on or 12 on.
Adolescent to young adults, right.
Yeah, my kids are grown. I've forgotten most of what I used to know. Okay, so young adults from 12 or 13 on into young adult, okay, literally young adult, okay? You know what I mean, a kid who might be even in post-secondary, et cetera, all right? And this is really cool. When you wrote this, and I don't know exactly how to ask this question, okay, but it's not only, A, hard to write a book, but to my way of thinking, it's hard to write a young adult book, okay? And I know there were some great, fabulous authors, and sometimes I look at these books and I don't understand the difference between that, a young adult book, and a book, okay? They're so well written.
Yes.
And how do you know? I'm just curious about this. And your son's a reading teacher. What makes it a young adult book, okay? And how did you know this as you were putting it all together, Maria? It's really it's interesting to me.
I think if you are defining a young adult book for average developing young adults, it's different from what we put together, because there are young adult books that are very sophisticated, that are science fiction books, that are romance novels, that are adventure novels, where the stories are very convoluted. What we tried to do with this is to come up with a story that would have universal appeal by making the main characters around the same age as these, as the readers, but to make the story have a universal theme that would appeal to someone who felt on the outside for some reason. Like the next book that's coming up, which is called Different, is about a girl who has real problems in high school, and some other students who come to her rescue. But the message always is something that will resonate with a special needs student, because they have a whole host of, and I can tell you, isolation is one of them. Isolation is a huge, huge factor. I remember my daughter in middle school. My husband happened to be the vice principal at the middle school
went
to.
And
I remember his describing her at a dance. And she would go to the eighth grade dance, and she would walk around the perimeter of the dance trying to find a group to hang out with. But she couldn't.
It's hard.
They were being mean to her.
Yeah, it's hard.
She couldn't join in the conversation.
Yeah.
And you know what? When she ended up going to high school, to a special ed high school, the one thing she loved about it, because there were plenty of students there who were more profoundly disabled than she, and we were worried she wouldn't have role models and whatever, she loved it because she never, ever felt left out. However, did she learn how to read there? No. No.
They do.
Because
it's
not a priority.
Yes.
It's just not a priority.
That's not good.
No.
So what you're saying is that within special ed, okay, we need books, okay, that prioritize the issues, okay, that are dear to them, books that they can actually read and understand. And there is a serious lack of that product. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is very
books
interesting.
That they can relate to, but that have age-respectful stories and accessible reading levels.
I have to ask. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know if you want to say what district your daughter was in. It's really not the concern, but I assume it was a pretty good big district, okay, in New Jersey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And I will tell you, New Jersey does better than most with special ed.
I know they do.
We really do.
I know they do. And so your daughter went to a special education high school, okay, yet, even, and the way I'm hearing it from you, even, and I'm thinking of the school library, she still couldn't find the right things to read, okay, which is not good,
by the way.
That's not good, okay? And, you know, you should really get in touch with the American Association of School Librarians.
Yes, they were in my initial contacts, and I'm going to do that
They're good folks.
Yes. And, you know, actually one of the librarians told me we could use this for our English language learners, too, because
we have
adults coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say to you, to me, besides the special ed kids, okay, which is your top priority, I understand that. But like ESL mm-hmm. kids and even kids, your description of your daughter at the dance is slim. You could be so many kids. It's like a movie in a week. You know, we all, in one way or another, went through that in junior high school and in middle school.
Yep.
Okay, where you're just awkward. And, I mean, this has good relevance, and it has good relevance across the board to ethnic groups, okay, that sort of thing, as well as ESL, okay? So I would really – you got a good idea here. And the more books you write, which is incredible, the better off you're going to be. And it's a good product. It's obviously – I'm looking right now at your research on readeasy.com. You know, 80% of the kids said they could understand what was happening in the story. It's like 80% again said the story was interesting to me, and this is kids, which I love. 68%, okay, said yes, I can remember what the story was about. Another 18% said yeah, kind of, okay, which is really strong stuff. Okay, which is really strong stuff. I love that. I can remember what the story was about, and. I could probably use that half the time on the stuff I read these days, okay? it's unbelievable, you know? So this is great. Maria, good luck with all this. This is really nice what you put together here, okay? And by the way, what's your daughter doing? What is your daughter doing now?
Well,
she's
before the pandemic.
She's a young lady now. What's she doing?
Yes, she's 29. She has a growing shock. But she, before the pandemic, she was working at Panera, you know, and she, but we do send her to brain training.
Right.
And we have her in a social skills group. And
cool.
After the pandemic is over, we're going to see if we can get her a job that challenges her. She loves animals, so we're going to see if we can get her into a doggy daycare kind of place.
I hope that happens. And by the way, and I know as you say this, okay, there's nothing wrong with working in Panera, and there's nothing wrong with doing restaurant work or housekeeping work in a hotel or whatever the case may be. Okay, but if somebody has the need to be challenged more, here's a way to do it. I know that goes without saying, really, but I didn't want people to misinterpret that in the slightest.
And you're right, and I'm so glad you said it. And she was very happy. The people at Panera were incredibly kind to her.
Most Panera,
Yeah, and they're very good with people with disabilities, too. I have to say they give them a lot of opportunities. But I think the time has come for her to expand herself a little bit.
I hope she can. I hope she can.
Thank you.
And the dogs
will
love her. And the cats. Yeah, doggy daycare. Okay, which is amazing right there because most people were stuck home during the pandemic. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But yet doggy daycare really grew like crazy economically. Okay. In other words, even though people were home, they were still sending their dogs even more so to doggy daycare.
Because they had to work.
Yeah, they had to work at home, and they thought their dog would be loved being around other doggies. Okay, and
mm-hmm.
people who love them. It's interesting, and we could go on and on about that. Maria, good luck with everything. it's a pleasure talking to you. I wish you the very, very best of luck with all this. Thank you.
I can't thank you enough for this opportunity, Larry, to share all this with everyone.
My pleasure, okay? And it's nice to know you and meet you and enjoy the summer, okay, in beautiful New Jersey.
Thank you.
As me, the old Philadelphian, would say, go down the shore. Okay? Go down the shore. Okay?
Sounds great.
You have a Taylor pork roll. I'm
again.
Showing my age. I'll talk to you later. Thank you, Maria.
Okay, great. Bye-bye now.
Yeah. Taylor pork roll, and it's really bad for you, but give me one. I'll eat it today. Okay, it's really good stuff. It's like really thick bacon, okay, on a hamburger roll with mayonnaise. And if you've never had that, you don't know what you're missing. A little onion won't hurt either. Okay, we're gonna archive the show over at ace-ed.org and call your cardiologist. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks, Maria. It's read easy, easy, easy way. readeasy.com.